And if there's anyone who can take us to higher ground, higher than that, it's Gail Rhodes Benjamin. She's a multi-talent and one of a kind. Please welcome Gail Rhodes Benjamin.
Ooh-wee. That song is beautiful, Higher Ground. Can we all say that together? Higher ground. Say it again, higher ground. Ooh, higher lectern, okay. All right, how's everybody doing this morning? You looking good. You looking good. It's so good to see you all. Thank you for the love, and I hope you feel the love. I'm sending it right back to you. Something is brewing. Today is a brand new day. It is ours to seize. Today is a moment of action, the action of prayer, the action of being yourself, the action of life, the action of constantly connecting to the Most High. You and I, we are brave soldiers on the front line moving forward. In fact, you are stronger than you realize, and something is brewing. Can you own up to that? I am stronger than I realize. I love the King James Version of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse, because it's near and dear to my heart. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. As a small child, I was always very aware of change. The ability to change my mind and the ability to sculpt out differences. The first thing I remember changing was my bedtime prayer. Because now I lay me down to sleep was just fine with me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, no problem. But if I should die before I wake, right there. That's the part that didn't resonate with me. So I changed it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Thy love stay with me through the night and wake me with the morning light. I didn't know anything about affirmations, but I knew that I did not want to pray myself to any place other than waking up in the home I grew up in, to have my steaming hot grits with butter and pepper, a slice of toast or cooked apples with cinnamon, nutmeg, and brown sugar. I would also have moments of staring at my image in the bathroom mirror. And ask the question, who am I? I would peek down the corners of my eyes and ask the same question over and over again, who am I? Who am I? As the years went on in my life, I realized that there was more to me than that little girl staring back at me in the mirror. There was more than the physical me. I discovered an emotional me. And finally, a psychological me and a spiritual me. And I began to notice more of who I was not, more of what didn't fit with me. I remember hearing the word sinner a lot. Well, that didn't fit well with me either, especially when someone used that word as an accusation, pointing their index finger toward an unwed mother, removing her from the choir or the usher board. And I remember thinking to myself, this doesn't make sense. A young mother needs more help now than at any other time in her life. Why on earth would she be removed from a support group or an organization that I thought was supposed to lift her up, not tear her down? It didn't seem like anyone hearing that S word was uplifted by it, cleansed by it, renewed by it. And even if they were, I was not. So I scratched it off my list because it made no sense to me. And then sometimes on Sunday evenings, we would visit my Aunt Daisy in Lana's church on the west side. And the heat, especially during the summer months, would be unbearable. And everyone would have fans and would give Bishop Byers that, it's hot up in here, glance. And he would just peek across his glasses and say, y'all think it's hot in here? Well, it's hotter than this in hell. And something inside of me would gasp for air. But of course, I couldn't speak out loud about these thoughts that I was contemplating. But there was something inside of me just rising up. And I began to silently give myself permission to change the rules so that I could feel more comfortable in my own skin. It was almost like I was having an allergic reaction to my life because I couldn't go around announcing that I was making my own rules. And so at times, I would pretend like I was in agreement just to fit in. Have you ever done that? Then I guess you know it doesn't work. Because when the something, this is not working. Okay. When the something, when the something that is inside of you begins to surface, you might ignore it or not give it your full attention, but it is still there specifically for you. No one else. Something is brewing. It's a hard one to explain, but not to be underestimated. The evidence has already been presented to us over and over again that this is not the skin that we were born in. The powerful poet, spoken word artist, educator, Sekou Sundiata, had a poem titled, Blink Your Eyes, whose hook line was, it all depends, it all depends, it all depends on the skin you're living in. And it does depend upon our awareness of how often change comes without us even realizing that we are changing. We shed hundreds of pounds of skin particles every hour. We shed about 1.5 pounds of skin per year. By age 70, the average person will have lost 105 pounds of skin. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Matthew. I appreciate that. See, you got to be able to be flexible. You got to be able to change it up and keep it moving, right? Mm-hmm. Change it up. Keep it moving. No sweat. I'm good. Y'all good? Okay, I'm going to keep going. Every 27 days or so, we shed and regrow our outer skin cells. So now, if the outer layer of our inner sanctuaries sheds and replenishes itself, it would seem to me that our inner selves must shed and replenish also. Life is always happening, one episode after the other. You fix the this, and then there's the that, and no matter what, we must constantly find our way back to God, back to the source, back to the truth. In other words, we are in a constant state of realignment with Spirit. And in order to remain in constant communion with the Holy Spirit within us, we have to find a way to participate in activities that shed light on our souls, things that resonate with who we are. If the plug comes out of the wall, the currents that cause us to have light won't come on. No matter how many times you turn the switch on, if it's not plugged in, it won't work. The same with us. If you're not plugged into what gives you spiritual nourishment, it can be very difficult to remain aligned, especially during life's most challenging transitions. Sometimes the only way out is to go back in and figure out what resonates with you now. Because what used to make you jump up and down might not anymore. Some of us read positive affirmations or scriptures or poetry. Some walk in the sunlight, the moonlight. Some are stargazers. I used to love waking up at the home I grew up in Detroit. Because if I went out early enough and stepped outside early in the morning, the grass was covered in these tiny little drops of early morning dew. And just brushing the sole of my foot across the grass would instantaneously reconnect me. Whatever the point of reconnection is for you, do yourself a favor and connect to it more often. If you don't know what it is, take time out to discover it on your own, in your own timing. But don't follow someone else's path or plug into someone else's idea of how you should plug back in. Don't take on the responsibility of living to someone else's expectations of how you should be being or how you don't add up to what they thought you should have been by now. It's time to shed the skin of those old thoughts that tell you you're not enough. The thoughts that laugh right in front of your face and tell you that the clock is ticking and that you're almost out of time. Let me tell you something. It's not about how much time you have left. It's about how shall we use the time we have right now. My dear friend May almost spent her 95th birthday in the rehab center connected to Brooklyn Hospital. She was walking to the mailbox one day and fell on the uneven sidewalk in front of her building. She broke her hip. After the hip replacement surgery and several complications, I went to the rehab to visit her, and she looked at me like her time was almost up and said to me, "Well, I don't know." I said, "You don't know what?" "They might not let me go home." I said, "Let you go home?" I said, "May." She said, "Yes." I said, "What you want to do? You want to go home?" She said, "Yes." And then I said, "Home as in your apartment, home?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay. Now, the next time the doctor comes in here, you ask that doctor what you have to do to be able to go home." She said, "Okay." The next time I visited her, she said, "I did what you said, and they telling me I got to be able to sit up, go to the bathroom on my own, walk up and down the stairs, and dress myself, and if I could do all of that by the end of June, I'll be able to go home." I said, "Okay, May girl, you got to work hard to make this happen." I gave her that look. She gave me the look back, and May was on a mission. Once she got to the point of where she could sit up, she sat up for longer periods each day. Next thing you know, she was sitting on the edge of the bed. Next thing you know, she's telling me, "They say I gotta use a walker." I said, "That's okay, whatever it takes." Next thing you know, May was making her way to the restroom and telling the nurse who stands right in the restroom with her that she needs a little bit of privacy. Next thing you know, the day comes when May is to be released, and this is how she says it happens, because I wasn't there. A very nice lady came into my room. After I had already got dressed and packed my clothes and was ready to leave, this lady said to me, "Wouldn't you like to make this your permanent residence?" And I asked her to repeat herself because I heard it the first time. I just wanted to see if she was going to have the nerve to say it again. And she did. "Wouldn't you like to make this your permanent residence?" And I said, well, she said no, but I won't repeat what she put in front of the no. But it was very similar to what Bishop Byers said when it was too hot in that church in Detroit. Anyway, May spent her 95th birthday at home partying with her friends and family. And she just turned 97 this past September 16th. She is the proud owner of a brand new fire engine red walker. And we call it her Cadillac. The guy who delivered it told her not to get a speeding ticket. And for her birthday party 3 weeks ago, she cooked her famous fried chicken and collard greens mixed with green cabbage and had herself a nice stiff drink to celebrate. And trust me when I tell you, May was feeling no pain whatsoever. Something inside of May wouldn't let her spend the rest of her days in a dull, lifeless environment. And something inside of you won't let you remain silent too much longer either. You see, even when you're not thinking about it, something is brewing. Something is moving. Something is happening. Something is desiring. And it's the thing that you feel the most passionate about. The thing that whenever you're thinking about it or whenever you take a glimpse of it, it reminds you that it's not going anywhere because it is God rising up in you. Your inner self shedding its skin. You can't see it, but it's there. Sometimes you can feel it welling up from your heart to the back of your throat, yearning for you to express it. Long before the leaves begin to take on the yellow, orange, crimson colors of fall, fall was already happening. Life has been happening and rushing towards you, urging you to let go of that deepest fear in the pit of your belly, to let go of that one thought that gets you every single time, that you'll never get ahead, that you will always be where you are right now, that everyone has a clear path except for you. You start to back up not knowing where you end up. But when your back is against the wall and you can't see the substance or evidence of things unseen, call forth a new vision like the prophet Elisha. One of Elisha's servants woke up early in the morning, stepped out of the tent to take a stretch, and saw that they were surrounded by the enemy. And he was, of course, afraid. He ran to Elisha, but Elisha was not afraid. He told him straight out, "More are with us than with them." This young servant was stunned because as far as his physical eyes allowed him to see, there was only himself, Elisha, and the enemy. That's when the prophet Elisha called upon the Spirit of God, offering up this prayer. "Oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." A prayer that illuminated the young servant's spiritual eyesight. And in that very moment, he did see that more were with them than were against them. He saw an army of fierce warriors that had previously been invisible. The entire hillside that surrounded Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire, an army that could definitely wipe out the enemy. He saw the evidence of what was previously unseen. The course of miracles reminds us that only our thoughts have been dwelling on the impossible, which is why we have to sometimes go back in the studio where we store our thoughts and change those thoughts of defeat into vigorous, aggressive rhythms. We have to do a remix. We have to add in another track, a little bit more of this or that. And if the melody is dull and lagging along, we have to fix it, change it up, turn it inside out, change the bass line, sing it out loud, dance it in your bare feet, listen to it in the silence. No matter what you're going through, just know this. Sometimes it's just a temporary situation setting you up for a permanent change. We ask ourselves, how many times do I have to grow through this before I realize the truth of who I am? And the answer is, as long as it takes. But no matter what, something is always moving in your favor for your highest good. I hope this never happened to you. And if it did, I hope it never happens to either one of us again. But somehow a terrible virus found its way into my computer. It scared the mess out of me. Every time I turned it on, these voices, several voices in different languages, came out of the computer. By the time my computer repair guy showed up, I was pretty much hiding in the corner from the voices. I said to him, "How could this have happened to me?" He says, "It happens all the time." I said, "What did I do wrong?" He said, "Nothing." See, we have to be careful as to what we're downloading spiritually and emotionally. Because haven't you noticed how one day you're flying high and then all of a sudden you're not? Sometimes in life we download without even knowing it. And the next thing you know, we've welcomed some untruth into our spiritual habitats. Downloaded some nasty, distasteful virus without even being conscious of it. And you say to yourself, "How could I have let this happen?" And the voice of something that is always brewing says to you, "You've done nothing wrong. All you have to do is, by the renewing of your mind, be transformed back to the truth of who you are." Because every time we lose our alignment with spirit, we have to reclaim it. No matter how perfect everything is, one moment, be aware your update is being scheduled. That's when your faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, springs into action. Your faith can dismantle any virus that you've downloaded and can destroy the enemy of self-doubt. Your faith can open doors of opportunity previously unknown to you. Your faith is like a tree planted by the waters of life, rooted in the strong prayers that your ancestors laid down before you were even here in the flesh. When you were still brewing, Let me tell you something. You may not realize this, but that blueprint that God used when she was sculpting and shaping you, and that cookie cutter that was used to carve you around the edges to give you that look of prestige and distinction that you have, that was the first time and the last time that that particular pattern was used. And that's why you're so specifically and so purposefully you. And you, my brother, and you, my sister, cannot be separated from God's intention for your life. You cannot be removed from who you are growing into. Why is it so difficult to hold on to the truth of who we are? When will we stop scrutinizing ourselves and participating in activities that diminish our self-esteem? Don't you recognize who you are? You are, in fact, all of that. A friend of mine was going on and sharing some drama with me, and she was like, she did this and she did that. And on top of all of that, she was acting all brand new, meaning she had more attitude than a little bit. But when I flipped the script and took those same words and put them into a context of a higher dimension of thought, I realized there is absolutely nothing wrong with declaring to the universe that I am purposefully acting all brand new, that I'm acting like I know who I am, that I'm acting like I know that I'm not a mistake. I'm acting like I know that the cookie cutter God used to shape and mold me was disposed of immediately. And although there may be similarities, nobody can be me better than I can be myself. And nobody, and I do mean nobody, can be you better than you can be you. So you better get with the program and act like you know. It is, after all, our responsibility to call forth the greatness in our lives. All of us at one time or another feel as if we're standing alone in the desert, but we are not. The presence of the divine cannot be separate from us. The power of emotion can be so overwhelming that you fear it's actually manifesting because you can't see what's brewing underneath the surface. You can't see what's gently and progressively unfolding for you. The psalmist David, I just love David because he would just break out in a song or a dance and change the vibration at any time. But in the 139th Psalms, he reminds us that we are wonderfully made. Can we say that? I am wonderfully made. And we are. I am wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. And you are ready right now to receive more of your good. I ask that your eyes be opened to see your own strength, that your heart be open to brand new adventures, that your arms open wide in new and expanded faith. I encourage you to say yes to something that feels just right for you, because if your prayers got answered on the spot, would you be ready? Is your passport updated? Are you in a good space to receive your blessing? Is everything in order? How soon could you be packed in at the airport? Do you have enough faith to say yes? A few years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity to say yes to a Unity retreat that was a gift to me. I met some wonderful friends at that retreat. And something happened that seemed like a mix-up. But I know now that everything was and still is in perfect and divine order. I remember that either Paul or Britt announced that someone who was supposed to be at the retreat couldn't make it on time or couldn't make it at all. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but this is what happened. They said, somebody's not going to be here, so does anybody have some talent or some knowledge that they want to share? And our dear Lisa Don said, well, I know a little bit of sign language. So I went to Lisa Don's class and learned a few basic signs, but I wanted more. I was like, Lisa, girl, do you know of a sign language teacher? And we both took classes together from a gentleman named John Rivera. This also gave me the opportunity to have a better relationship with my goddaughter, who was deaf, because whenever she came to visit me, we were writing and scripting out everything, all these papers. But after the classes, life moved on, and don't get me wrong, I'm not fluent, but I started infusing every workshop or teaching artist residency with some form of sign language to share the gift and to help myself to retain it. Long story short, I prayed for more because something was brewing. Even after that first time with Lisa, and I think it was about 2006, something inside of me began to blossom. And lo and behold, I'm here to tell you that later on today, I'll be performing for the very first time with the Dance Deaf Jam Ministry in Harlem at 4 o'clock at 124th and 5th Avenue. Now, when the opportunity came, I was shaking in my boots. I almost said no. But it was an answer to a prayer, so I stepped out on faith and said yes. Your passions will not disappear. Your dreams have not faded. All you have to do is stay connected to what it is that make you feel like you're flying. Recapture your dignity and put your crown back on your head where it belongs. Your crown, my sisters and brothers, is symbolic of your relationship with the divine. It is the act of returning to your portal of dignity and self-respect. And wearing it means that you are aware and have full recognition of your connection. It's a reminder to take the utmost care in keeping of your body temple, and that it is up to us to do the best we can with what we have right now and to not dwell on what we don't have. See, sometimes we're so busy remembering the things we need to forget that we forget the things we need to remember. What you do need to remember is that wearing your crown is necessary, because when all of what's been brewing in your behalf comes knocking at your door, you want to be ready. So the first thing you want to do is you want to put on your own crown. Because if you're trying to wear somebody else's crown, it won't fit. You want to hold your head up. If you hold your head down, your crown will fall off. And you have to walk proud, like you're all brand new. Walk like you're ready to say yes when you mean it and no when you don't. Walk like you know that something is brewing. And it is brewing for your highest good. Brewing for your highest expectation. Brewing with power and confidence. Your excellent health is brewing. Your career is brewing. Your specialty is brewing. Your new home is brewing. Your vision is brewing. Your voice is brewing. Your abundance is brewing. Your love is brewing. Your brand new idea is brewing. Your confidence is brewing. Your faith in the substance of things unseen is sprouting up all over the place. So now this is the moment of truth. If you've been wearing someone else's crown, take it off. If you've been living someone else's dream, stop. Try your own crown on. For size, it should fit perfectly. After all, it's shaped in the image of God shining forth as you. It doesn't matter that you're way past the limit of what you thought you would have accomplished by now. Don't you know that the God within you is beyond limitation? And today is a brand new day. And whether you came here today for the first time, or whether you come some of the time, or whether you come all of the time, today, in this moment, we are warriors on the front line, fully loaded with faith, all brand new, and wearing our crowns with dignity. Can you stand up and know it with me again? Come on, y'all. Let me hear you say, I am beautiful.
I am wonderfully made.
I am stronger than I realize.
Tell the person next to you, tell three people, you are stronger than you realize. You're stronger than you realize. You're stronger than you realize. Let me hear you say, I am all brand new.
I am all brand new.
Let me hear you say it with an attitude. Come on. I am all brand new.
God and I are one.
And it's all good.
It's all good.
Now let me tell you something. You have the faith and you have the knowledge and you have the perseverance and you have the Spirit of God rising up in you like a revolution, and there's nothing that you can't achieve. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Just get it done. Get it done. Get it done, y'all.
We are so blessed. By God's grace, we are blessed and always worthy. As we move into our time of meditation, I invite you to put aside anything you're holding on to at this moment, anything your hands, in your hands, or even on your heart. Just put it down. And take a few deep cleansing breaths and feel that chair supporting you. Consciously release your shoulders. And just let your body relax. Breathe in and out. And with intention, bring your focus from your head all the way down into your heart. In this quiet moment of peace, we are surrounded by grace. Simply for being who we are, God's beloved children. Grace is God's good pleasure, offered unconditionally. How blessed we are to know right now we don't have to do anything to deserve grace. Like the love of God that enfolds us, grace is always present in our lives. The infinite spirit that calls us to live from our highest consciousness intends for us to be joyful and successful and free. Grace is this activity of God showing up in us. Sometimes my limited human thinking can get in my way. When I get confused and stumble, how comforting it is to remember just to take a breath and relax, knowing that God's grace is always in us and all around us and always calling us higher. Through God's grace, we are always led to our highest good. The Spirit of God overcomes my negative thoughts with infinite compassion and patience. There is no need to be anxious or worried by any outward appearance of disorder or dis-ease. As we choose to see ourselves as God sees us, we can feel instead great calmness. Trust in the Spirit within you. Know in this moment that nothing is stronger than God and that grace is unchanging. In grace, there is always hope, no matter what. On our spiritual path to know God, with every step we take, Spirit rushes to shower us with peace and prosperity and unconditional love along the way. And as we move into our time of silence, take another deep breath and feel God's grace supporting you, carrying you like a river, buoying up your life to move forward with calm and confidence. I am worthy of grace because of who I am. I am made in the image and likeness of God. I allow grace to overflow through my heart in free and joyous expression. I celebrate the law of grace. Just as the law of gravity holds us steady on the earth, God's persistent grace lifts us up to the heights of our divine nature. And so it is. Amen.